Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I live in a neighborhood home with my older sister. We rent the place and split the bills. This was last October, as the weather was just starting to get colder. My sister had plans to meet up with some friends in Florida, so she would be gone for almost a whole week. She invited me, but I couldn't take the time off work. Anyway, she left on Monday morning, which was a day I didn't work. I cleaned up the house and just enjoyed having some time alone. That same day, though, around 2, there was a knock at the door. I thought it was maybe a package my sister had ordered, so I answered it. It was an older man, like early 40s. He wasn't holding a package or anything, though.
"Hi, how can I help you?"
The man looked me in the eyes for an unsettling amount of time before answering.
"Oh, I just wanted to see who lived here. Sorry, didn't mean to bother you."
He smiled and nodded, then walked away. I thought that was strange and wasn't really sure what he meant by that, but I closed the door and continued my day. As far as I'm aware, nothing else happened for the rest of the evening. The following day, I had work, so I woke up early and headed down to the office. I got back home at 6. Only a half hour later, and while I was cooking dinner, there was a knock at the door again. I looked out the peephole before answering this time, and it was the same man from yesterday. He was easy to recognize because he wore the same exact clothes. I opened the door, though I was a bit more hesitant this time, only cracking it open.
"Is everything okay?"
He smiled and said, "Of course," as if I was being silly for asking that. He then said he was just checking in on me. The way he said it was like it was expected or something.
"Oh, are you a neighbor of mine? I didn't know,"
I said, assuming he must be one of those older nosy neighbors. It still would be strange for him to check in on me, but it would explain it.
"Oh, no, I was just walking around,"
he said. He was really starting to creep me out now, so I said I was fine and closed the door. I waited for him to leave my porch, then went back to cooking. I texted my sister that night, asking if she'd ever encountered that man, but she said no. I was paranoid the rest of the night. I felt safe inside my home. All the doors were locked and everything, but I also felt like I was being stalked and watched. What could that man possibly want that wasn't something creepy? The night passed again, with no more signs of him, and same with the following day. He didn't knock on the door, and I had hoped it might actually be nothing to worry about. The day after, I had off work, and it was the last day that my sister would be gone for. I spent most of my time inside and just hanging out, reading and watching YouTube. Every so often, I'd peek out the windows, just to be cautious, but I never saw anything. Around 8, I was watching TV when I heard something scrape against the outside of the house. It sounded like a stick scratching along the siding. I quickly got up and opened the blinds, seeing the bush right under the window shaking, and faintly, I could hear footsteps running away. I couldn't see anything else in the dark, though. I felt like I was going to throw up. Surely it was the same man, but how long was he there? Was he sitting in the bushes, trying to watch me through the window? I was so out of it, I didn't know what to do, and ended up calling my sister. Luckily for me, she picked up. I tried to explain to her what was going on, but I think I was talking too fast for her to understand. And midway through the conversation, there was a knock at the door. I didn't answer, but the man started calling out and knocking louder. He asked me to let him in and tried to guilt trip me by saying he was injured. Then he made excuses for being outside my home and then started apologizing for everything. He continued to bang on the door. It was creepy and disturbing how desperate he was for me to open the door. Clearly, something was wrong with him. My sister told me to call 911 immediately, so I hung up and did as she said. The man stayed at the door for a whole 5 minutes, still trying to convince me to let him in, before he finally left. What the man actually wanted is unknown, and how long he was stalking me for is also unknown. He could have somehow figured out my sister was gone for the week. It just seems like too big of a coincidence. Whatever the case, I haven't seen him at all since then. Hopefully it's over. It was just before 2 a.m., and I had gotten an Uber back to my place after partying all night for New Year's. I don't think I was plastered or anything, but I definitely was well beyond tipsy, and I had a raging headache. When I got dropped off, I slowly made my way up to the front door and fumbled around with my keys for way too long before making it inside. I tossed everything on the floor and took an ibuprofen, then fell over on the couch. I was exhausted and tired, but the headache was keeping me from sleeping, so I kind of just laid there with my eyes closed for a while. I honestly have no idea how long. Randomly, though, the doorbell rang. It rang several times, and I never got up to answer the door, or even see who it was. At the moment, I didn't even care or think about it. I just wanted to lay there and try to sleep and not be bothered. Obviously, with it being the middle of the night, someone ringing my doorbell repeatedly should be pretty concerning. But like I said, I had a bit too much to drink. Surprisingly, not too long after they stopped ringing the doorbell, I actually managed to pass out on the couch. I couldn't say how long I was asleep for, but when I woke up, I was very groggy and felt weak, still with a pounding headache, and the whole house was dark. I stood up and tried to make my way to the kitchen to get a glass of water when I noticed a streak of light on the wall in the hallway. Even in my not-so-sober state, it was unmistakable what it was. The light was coming from the front door being partially open and moonlight spilling into the house. Was I really so drunk that I didn't close the door? There was no way. Before I could even walk into the hallway and look at the door, footsteps moved around upstairs. I froze, then hurried back to the couch and ducked behind it. There were two sets of footsteps walking right above me. I thought about making a run for it, but my hesitation ruined my chances, as the footsteps began making their way down the stairs. There was a pause, then the sound of the front door shutting, and the streak of light disappeared.
"All right, let's get on with it,"
a man spoke. I was completely sobered up now, and realized they probably had just gotten inside moments before I woke up, and immediately checked the bedrooms upstairs. Not seeing anyone, they assumed the place was empty. My chest felt like it was burning from how fast my heart was racing. The men moved around in the room on the other side of the house and began chatting, like everyday regular talk about life. I don't know, but something about it was so disturbing and terrifying. I mean, if they were so comfortable breaking into my home and having casual conversations while doing so, then what the hell were they going to do if they found me? I could hear them taking things, robbing all the rooms in the house, before the footsteps made their way into the living room. The way I had it set up, the couch was diagonal in the corner, so I was kind of closed off behind it. But the couch was also short, so if they got close to it, they would easily be able to see me. I just listened as they walked around, moving things and opening every drawer and box they saw. Then one of the men started walking closer to the couch. I hoped and waited for their footsteps to stop or change directions, but they kept coming closer and closer until I saw their head show above me. They were looking down at the cushions though, and I guess they didn't see me in the side of their vision. Then they moved on to the next room. I sat there motionless for almost 30 minutes, listening to them rummage through the entire house before they finally left. I didn't hear them say anything about coming back, but I grabbed my phone and ducked back behind the couch as I called the cops. The situation is mostly exactly what it seemed like. The men came in and robbed the valuables from my home. I had forgotten to lock the front door, but there's some evidence that it wouldn't have mattered. A neighbor said they saw two men watching my house rather suspiciously over the course of the past week. Likely they saw that I lived alone and always parked in the driveway. So when I took my car to the New Year's party and came back in an Uber without my car, they thought I wasn't home. Thankfully, it seems they only intended to rob me and nothing more. But had they found me, who knows what could have happened. I was at home with my dog, Hazel. It was a normal night. I'd gotten out of work already and was just trying to enjoy the few hours I had before bed. I was watching TV and eating some snacks when Hazel got up and went to the back door, wanting to be let out. I got up and let her outside to do her business. I had a pretty small fenced-in backyard, so I never really needed to keep an eye on her too much. Usually she'd stay out for a while and sniff around anyway. While I was up, I put some dishes away and cleaned up the mess I made from cooking earlier, when Hazel started barking. She liked to bark at squirrels and stuff, but after a few seconds, she still hadn't let up. I walked over to the back door and opened it, seeing Hazel standing by the side of the fence and barking at it, like something was on the other side. It was just woods on that side of the fence, so I thought maybe she'd seen a coyote or something. Just to be safe, I called her back inside. I got back on the couch and turned the TV on. Something was immediately different about Hazel, though. Usually she'd lay on or next to me, but she was sitting on the edge of the couch, head perked up and staring at the back door. No matter how much I'd call her over, she'd just glance at me, then go back to watching. She was like this for the rest of the night. A couple times I did look over there, but saw nothing. I thought she was just in protective mode for some reason, which she does randomly sometimes. We stayed up for a bit, then went to bed at 10:30. Hazel usually sleeps on the end of my bed, or on her doggy bed in the corner of the room, but I always leave the bedroom door cracked open because her food and water is downstairs. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I noticed the bedroom door was wide open, much more than I had left it. Maybe she bumped into the door. She wasn't in the room, and I didn't hear her nails clicking on the wooden floor, or the sound of her eating or drinking. On any other day, I'd probably just go back to sleep and not worry about it, but something gave me a bad gut feeling. Even my body seemed to have fully woken up already. I got out of bed and looked out into the hallway. The house was quiet.
Hazel?
I walked down the steps and into the living room. Everything seemed to be normal, but all the food and water in her bowls were still full. At this point, everything was rushing through my mind. I was scared maybe somehow I'd left the back door open and she ran away or something, even though I knew I didn't. I walked into the kitchen and my heart sank, seeing Hazel crouched underneath the table, shivering and shaking, and staring at me, completely terrified of something. I called her name again, and she didn't move, and then I noticed the back door was open. Everything was starting to come together in my mind, but I didn't know what to do. I felt trapped and scared and vulnerable. I hurried over to the table and picked Hazel up, then ran right out the back door. I left through the fence gate and ran over to a neighbor's house. It took a minute, but eventually they woke up and answered the door, calling the police for me. When officers searched my home, they didn't find anyone. There were a few signs of shoe prints around the house, though, some even being upstairs. That whole scenario is so confusing and left me with hundreds of questions and zero answers. I don't know who it was, or why they broke in, or even how long they'd been inside for. Were they the one to open my bedroom door all the way? Were they hiding when I was looking for Hazel? Were they even still in the house? I almost wish I encountered them before running away, so I'd at least have some sort of answers. Now I'm left with nothing. I just have to live and hope it was some random thing, and that they don't come back.
During spring break of my senior year of high school, I went on a trip to the beach with my group of friends. My best friend, Tyler, went too. His dad just bought a condo right on the beach, but he hadn't set it up to rent it out yet, so he let us party in it for a few days, as long as we didn't wreck the place. Nothing sounded better than multiple nights of living completely carefree and hanging out with just the people we liked, especially since there were girls involved. Even if the place was a little bare bones, and some of us would end up sleeping on couches or air mattresses. That didn't matter so much, because of course, we all pitched on a couple of bottles and a few cases of beer, which we would be passing around the whole time. Tyler was initially apprehensive about having alcohol inside the condo, as he was worried about getting caught by his dad and not being allowed to party there ever again. Everybody convinced him it wasn't a big deal though, and to make it more tempting, since it was his condo, we let him drink as much as he wanted without having to pay his share. Admittedly, that was not a great idea, because for being the one who was nervous about it, Tyler drank more than any of us. Some of the guys gave him flack for it and said he was taking advantage of the fact that he didn't have to buy any of it. But then it was already too late, because a new kind of Tyler was unleashed, and he was just knocking back the drinks. I was his best friend, which made me feel like I had to keep up with him. None of us were experienced drinkers, so there were no thought about anyone staying at all sober to take care of the rest of us. By the time the sun set on the first evening, we were all wasted. The hours dragged on, the music kept blasting, and there were games played. Some people got sick, and some people were caught getting it on, but after a while, things started to die down. There was a point at which we were all winding down and all sitting around the living room, not really talking or doing anything. That's when Tyler jumped up out of nowhere and made a bunch of noise, trying to get us all hyped again. He kept saying stuff like, "It's only midnight, you quitters. The night is still young." And he was walking around to everybody, handing them drinks, all while he was slamming beers, too. We were all pretty tired, so we didn't exactly respond to it, until he had a different idea. "Hey everyone, let's go to the beach," he shouted at the top of his lungs. I can hear those words ringing through my head to this day. It was such a bad idea. Still, and I don't know why, but as soon as he said it, we all agreed instantly and shot up to party again. We didn't want to get more drunk just to keep sitting around, but we were definitely down for something else to do. There was a brief moment where one of us mentioned that it was the middle of the night and nobody was supposed to go to the beach around then. But then that was answered with enthusiasm instead of deterring us. It was going to be so cool to have the beach to ourselves and be there at the wrong time of the day. There were so many of us together, what could go wrong? We killed the first bottle right then and there, and we each slammed another beer or two before heading out. We hadn't even changed out of our clothes into our bathing suits. It seemed like it was the perfect happenstance too, that the beach was right on our doorstep. We didn't even have to cross a single street to get there. That was the most dangerous part about being a bunch of drunk fools in the dark, I figured, so it was fine. Tyler was on a roll with the suggestions and said we should all go skinny dipping. Again, we all thought that was very exciting. Everybody had at least one other person there that they wanted to see naked, so it was a shame that it was a new moon and we could barely see anything. That made it less nerve-wracking though, so even if you were self-conscious, you couldn't get out of it really. Then, just like that, we all took off what little clothes we were wearing and left them in the sand before charging into the water. It was surprisingly cold for mid-March, but we were so drunk, we had no problem powering through it. we waded out against the crashing waves until our feet weren't touching the ground. Tyler wanted to keep going, but the girls stopped because they were a lot shorter than us and were already treading water for a while. So of course, most of the guys stayed with them. Tyler, on the other hand, hadn't been hitting on any of them and was basically in his own world that sometimes had me involved in it, so he pressed on, breaking out into a full-on swim. I chased after him, trying to keep in my line of sight, but unfortunately, the waves were really high, even though they weren't breaking on us anymore. I started to feel sick from the motion, like I might throw up all my drinks straight into the ocean. That, and I was getting cold and tired. Eventually, I stopped and treaded water. I couldn't see Tyler anymore. I called his name, but there was no response. Not a shout back, not even splashing. I swam out a little further and I called his name again, as loud as I could, but still, just silence. My heart started pounding and I felt my throat closing up. I don't even know if it was the cold or just being scared of losing my friend, but it was probably a combination of both. I kept calling his name for a while until I eventually started to feel exhausted from treading water. Eventually, I heard the rest of my friends calling out to us to come back. I was surprised how quiet they sounded, as I hadn't realized how far we swam out. Reluctantly, knowing I didn't have much energy left, I turned back and swam toward the sound of their voices until I could stand again. I was hoping beyond hope that Tyler was with them. In the darkness, I couldn't make out much detail, but I could tell they had all gotten cold or bored and were standing on the beach, waiting for us. As I dragged myself up to them, completely drained, my heart sank when I counted one less person than there should have been. "Where's Tyler?" I asked them right away. There was a short pause, and they all looked at each other with concern, then said they thought he was with me. In a last-ditch hope, I thought maybe he had gotten around all of us and was the first to get back to the pile of clothes and get dressed. We all ran over there and picked out our clothes, putting them on and seeing to our horror that Tyler's trunks were still there. I ran back to the ocean, but my friend stopped me from going back in, saying it was better to wait for him to come back. We shined lights out into the abyss and called his name 100 times, but we couldn't see or hear a damn thing. Not a single sign of him. After about 20 or 30 minutes, one of us had to make the call to 911. We were a petrified, shivering, sloppy mess. All of us. The cops asked us questions, but didn't suspect foul play. They said they would have to wait until daybreak to send a search party out into the water, but it never got to that point. While we were all standing there, Tyler's body washed ashore.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.